The book of Daniel is like a literary rest stop in our journey through the prophets. For the last 6 weeks, we've been reading through long, dusty stretches of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, one lengthy pronouncement after another, one long oracle after another, for miles on end. And for me, there have been several points along the way when I thought, I can't wait to get back to some good old-fashioned storytelling. Well, here we are. With Daniel today and Jonah next week, we not only get back to some stories, but these are some of the most famous stories in the entire Old Testament. Daniel and his special diet, his three friends in the fiery furnace. And then, of course, the scripture reading for today, Daniel in the lion's den. As we hear these stories, we come to realize that they all have one thing in common. The connecting thread that ties them all together is this. They are all stories about integrity, about how to maintain your principles and your values when everything around you is working against you. Warren Buffett has said that when he looks to hire people, he looks for three qualities: integrity, intelligence, and energy. And he says that if they don't have the first, the other two will kill you. Person can have all the intelligence and energy in the world, but it is integrity that determines whether they'll be used for good or used for harm. Now, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel were very effective at telling the Israelites to have integrity and remaining faithful. They were very strong in commanding them to be obedient. But then along comes Daniel, who offers the very same message, not with his words, but with his actions, with his example. As I discussed with Dr. Brennan Breed in our podcast on Daniel last week, even though the book of Daniel is included in the section of the prophets, Daniel is not a prophet in the formal sense. He's not called by God to be a messenger. He doesn't speak directly to the exiles in Babylon. Instead, his life is the message, his story is the spoken word about how to stay faithful and true to God rather than bend to the ways of the world and the culture. His life is a message of integrity. And it's the one the exiles needed to hear, even if they didn't know it. And it's also the message that we need to hear, even if we're not used to hearing it. The great preacher Fred Craddock told a story of a member of his church named Jim Strain, a screenwriter who had written a script for the television show MASH. Jim had been attending one of Craddock's Bible studies on the parables of Jesus and was being shaped by the ideas of Jesus on faithfulness and integrity. And he wrote those values into his screenplays. Jim wrote a script for the MASH producers to consider, and it featured Father Mulcahy, the sweet and somewhat naive Catholic chaplain, who was wrestling over some strong romantic feelings he had developed for one of the nurses. Mulcahy was torn between those desires and staying true to his vows as a priest. And by the end of the story, Father Mulcahy chose to rebuff those temptations and maintain his integrity. And Jim told Fred Craddock, "You know, I had a terrible time selling that script." The producers would tell him, "If you just change the ending, make it more realistic." And he would reply, "What does it mean to make it more realistic?" And they'd say, "Well, he goes for the nurse. He disavows his priesthood. Don't you understand what people want?" "No," Jim would say, "I guess not." Well, we understand what our culture wants. Most of the time, you and I hear the stories of people who didn't maintain their integrity, who chose the easy way, the selfish way, the violent way, the quick grab for power or self-pleasure or self-preservation. These are the stories that we want as a culture. We don't typically hear the stories where people choose the noble or virtuous way. And that's why the book of Daniel was so important to these Israelites, because they needed to remember what integrity looked like. They'd heard about it through the words of Isaiah, through the pronouncements of Jeremiah, the visions of Ezekiel. Now they needed to see it modeled through someone's actions, and that person was Daniel. Integrity was Daniel's superpower. He didn't have the ability to part the Red Sea like Moses. He couldn't call down fire like Elijah. He didn't conquer foreign armies like David. All he had was the power to stay true to his values and to not compromise his convictions. And that's what made him a superhero to those Babylonian exiles. The exiles may have wanted a warrior to overthrow the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, you know, an act of violence. But instead, they got the story of Daniel in chapter 1, in which Daniel refused to eat the king's food, choosing to maintain his dietary laws of the Hebrew faith as a way of staying true and standing up for himself, claiming his own identity, maintaining his integrity, and he was victorious. The exiles may have wanted someone to rain down fire on the Babylonians, but instead they got a very different kind of fire story in Daniel chapter 3, in which Daniel's three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided to get into good trouble. In the words of Representative John Lewis, they engaged in an act of civil disobedience. And instead of bowing down to worship the political systems of the land, they chose the way of integrity. And then when they were thrown into the fiery furnace as punishment, they emerged victorious. And then, of course, there is the great story of the lion's den. When the Persians conquered the Babylonians and a new king named Darius took the throne and showed favor to Daniel, other royal officials were jealous and they conspired to have Daniel killed. And they convinced Darius to pronounce a decree that if anyone bows in prayer to anyone other than King Darius himself, they were to be thrown to the lions. And Daniel refused, choosing the way of integrity. And you probably know what happened next. After Darius reluctantly sentenced him into the lion's den, he awoke the next morning to discover Daniel still alive, God having shut the lion's mouth and preserving his life. Say what you will about the miraculous elements of these stories, I think the greatest power demonstrated in Daniel chapters 1 to 6 is not just a God who protected people and kept them from being burnt or devoured. It is in a God who helped Daniel and his friends say no to temptation and say yes to their integrity. And you know what? It's the exact same power that God is giving you today. I know there's a lot going on in the world right now where you might feel helpless. And there's a lot going on in your life where you might feel out of your control. And you might be going through so many hardships that you feel like you're being tossed around like a feather in a windstorm. But there is always something you can control. You can always choose to live your life with decency and honesty and honor. And every night when you go to bed, if you can think back on the day and know that despite all the hardships that you faced, that you never once compromised what you knew was right, then that integrity will help you sleep in peace. Ask yourself every night, did I at any point do anything underhanded or immoral or unethical? Did I devalue someone's humanity or tear anyone down? Did I grab for power or take a shortcut? Did I lose control of myself or do anything that I regret? You might have felt helpless at times throughout that day, but there were things that you could control, and if you maintain your integrity, that is the best sleep aid I know. You're probably familiar with the name Al Capone. He was one of Chicago's most notorious mob bosses and the godfather of organized crime in the city. One of his henchmen was a lawyer named Easy Eddie, who successfully kept Capone out of prison time and time again. Capone then rewarded Easy Eddie with every luxury imaginable, including a giant mansion in Chicago. Eddie had a son that he loved very much, and over time, Easy Eddie came to realize that his life had become a pawn for evil and violence and destruction. And he knew that he did not want this to be the legacy that he passed down to his son. So he made the hard choice to walk down a different path. He went to the police, and he confessed his actions, and told them the truth about what Al Capone and his organization had been doing. He did his very best to clean up his tarnished name and regain some sense of integrity for himself and for his offspring. He testified in court against Capone, and shortly afterwards, he was gunned down on a lonely Chicago street. Police pulled from his pocket a rosary, a crucifix, a religious medallion, and a poem that he had clipped from a magazine. And the poem read, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in time, for the clock may soon be still. This is the only time you have. Every day is a gift, and you can choose to live it how you want, but at the end of each day, you alone are accountable for the choices you make. Will you follow the path that causes others harm and feeds the shadows of your lesser self, or will you choose the path of integrity?" Integrity, remember, comes from a Latin word that means wholeness, completeness. It's the same root for integrated. Choosing the path of integrity, as hard as it might be, will lead to a life where all of the pieces of your life will fit together cleanly and beautifully. The opposite of integrity leads to disintegration, in which you will try harder and harder, spending more and more energy to hold together pieces of your life that will ultimately fall apart. It's just not worth it. One final story. This one is about a World War II hero named Lieutenant Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot sent on a mission along with the rest of his squadron. Shortly after takeoff, he realized that someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank, and he received immediate orders from his commander to drop out of formation, leave his squadron behind, and return to the aircraft carrier for refueling. He did. And as he flew back by himself, he discovered that a squadron of Japanese planes was heading toward the carrier. There would be no time for the rest of the squadron to return to defend the ship. He would be the only hope. The only thing that he could do was to try to divert the Japanese. So he dove into their formation, shooting at them until he ran out of ammunition, sacrificing his own personal safety. The stunned and frustrated Japanese then took off in another direction, sparing the ship. The story of Butch O'Hare's heroism followed him all the way back to the United States. He became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. His hometown honored him, and to this day, one of the busiest airports in the world is named after him in his home city of Chicago. You may have heard of it, O'Hare International Airport. By the way, where do you suppose Butch O'Hare learned about heroism, bravery, and integrity? Turns out he learned it from his dad. Butch O'Hare was the son of Edward O'Hare, otherwise known as Easy Eddie. The great psychologist and family therapist H. Jackson Brown wrote, "Live so that when your children think of fairness and caring and integrity, they think of you." Easy Eddie had decided that nothing else matters if you don't live with integrity. And the beauty of his choice lingered long after he was gone. Nothing else in life matters if you don't live with integrity. Friends, that way of life is not always easy, but it is always the best way to live for you and those who follow in your example. Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence and your provision, which is always with us, even amid the lion's dens and fiery furnaces of life. Show us how to live with integrity. Help us to live without fear. And may our example inspire and instruct those whom we influence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.